This is House Rules, a DCU's Batman Young Justice cartoon universe, Hogwarts AU, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tags for alternate universe, Hogwarts. This is the first story in the series, House Rules. It's in Roy's second year at Hogwarts, first year on the Gryffindor team, when he first sees, and makes note, of the runt from Slytherin. Well, actually, when the runt was first being sorted, Jason kind of punched him in the arm, told him to shut up and pay attention. That's his little brother being sorted. So Roy, like a good friend who doesn't want to get punched, shuts up and turns around to pay attention. The sorting hat hems and haws a bit before crunching in on itself and bellowing out, "Slytherin!" The boy underneath the hat turns a shade of pale that Roy would think warrants a visit to the nurse. Jason swears under his breath, and he was gunning for Ravenclaw so hard. Poor kid. They both watch the first year glumly head over to Slytherin table, welcomed by the other Slytherins with claps on the back and smiles. Jason's elder sister, Cass, is a Slytherin. But she's further down the table. When she sees them, she gives them a wave. Anyway, the point is, Roy is trying out for the Gryffindor Quidditch team with Jason. Jason is aiming to be a beater, and Roy is hoping that he gets the open spot of keeper. Neither of them are very nervous about it, though Roy is pretty sure he's a third year running off the pitch to throw up a few minutes ago. If anything, Roy is just excited to be on a broomstick and in the air. And Jason is probably eager to beat the shit out of things. Jason is a muggle-born. Apparently, most of his siblings are. And they were adopted by the Wayne family after their parents died. According to Jason, the biggest disappointment about being a wizard is the lack of contact sports and sports in general, and the fact that there's no physical education class. Whatever that is. And from what Roy understands, it's just a lot of sports and running. Which sounds pretty alright. While Roy does agree with the sentiment, he can't honestly say that watching people chase a ball around, a ball that doesn't even move on its own, without any other obstacles besides each other, doesn't seem very fun. Anyway, Jason is looking around the pitch, a kind of crazy smile on his face, before his eyes lock on something in the stands, and he groans, covering his face. "What's wrong? Don't throw up on me," Roy asks, only a little bit concerned as Jason tries to hide behind him. And while Roy might be a little bit taller, Jason is kind of bulky. "My siblings came to watch. This is so embarrassing." Roy squints at the stands, and he can see two dots of silver green and one black yellow blob that's enthusiastically waving its arms around. "I think it's sweet." Roy's own siblings didn't turn up because, well, Connor apologized, but apparently he's not allowed to cheer for the enemy, according to his Ravenclaw upperclassmen, and Mia just doesn't want to watch. "We're not even in the same house," Jason complains, but he goes off with the other beaters to go through the tryout drills. When it's Roy's turn, he gets on his broom. And from up here, he can sort of see Jason's siblings better. He's met Dick before, a fifth-year Hufflepuff who doesn't really grasp the concept of house rivalry, just sibling rivalry. Cass is a third-year Slytherin, and Jason always complains because at only a few months apart, he should be a third-year too, who just doesn't care about any form of rivalry. Jason privately admits to Roy that he's pretty sure the only reason why Cass isn't in Hufflepuff or Gryffindor is because she's a trained Aquamans, and she's a bit scary. And then there's Tim, who, if Roy is going to be honest, is kind of cute. Totally not what he'd expected from Slytherin. Though if Jason caught him saying that out loud, he'd kick Roy's ass up and down the Quidditch pitch for stereotyping. And why can't my little brother be cute and cunning and resourceful at the same time, huh, Harper? You got a problem with my little bro? Anyway, he's kind of cute. Jason is already complaining about everyone else who tried out. Not in a mean way, of course. Jason isn't that kind of person. And complaining about his own mistakes and what they could have done better, and all over joking around and probably coming up with his own training regimen to improve. Roy is probably going to have to talk him out of sneaking down to the pitch to practice after hours. They're walking through the halls on the way to the dormitory, when they both get tackled from behind. "Great job out on the pitch, guys," Dick says, bringing them both into chokeholds. "If you guys get on the team, I think our house will be in trouble." "Dick, let go," Jason snaps, trying to twist free. Roy just rolls with it, because it's Dick. "You're embarrassing." "Dick, you're making a scene," a new voice hisses from the side. "Please." Dick lets out a melodramatic sigh, letting them both go. "Oh, come on, Tim. I'm just showing them my love." The first year is standing off to the side, shooting Dick the most skeptical and judging look Roy's ever seen in his life. Like, how do you even exist? Are you real? Are you actually a being made of unicorn blood and phoenix tears, or what? He has a camera in his hands. One of those muggle ones, the digital kind. Roy wonders if it works. Well, he wonders how he got it on school grounds. Then again, it's best not to question any of the Wayne siblings. They just are. "You guys didn't have to watch. God, I bet everyone else thought you were there scoping out the competition." Jason huffs, dusting off his robes. Roy snorts. Jason lightly elbows him. "Hey, Tim, come here. This is Roy. Roy, this is my kid brother, Tim. Say hi, make nice, pretend to have manners." Roy smiles. "Hi. Jason talks about you all the time. Usually when he's talking about how stupid other people are in comparison." Tim's ears are pink. Though that could probably be because it's a little cold out. He adjusts his silver-green scarf. Hello. Jason wrote about you all the time. When he sent owls home. Roy turns to Jason.
"Really?
Don't read into it, Harper."
"You like me,"
Roy coos, poking Jason's face. "You really like me."
"Oh, shut up. Ugh,"
Jason makes a face and shoves Roy. Of course, Roy shoves back. And of course, that leads to an impromptu play brawl that may or may not draw blood. Somewhere above them, where they're rolling around on the ground, kicking and punching at each other, Dick sighs. "Children. Should we be stopping this?" Tim says, sounding a little nervous. Dick laughs.
"Asshole."
"Okay. I take that as a no." There's a click. Jason and Roy both look up. Tim is looking at the screen of his camera.
"I think I've got my camera fixed."
"Jason, you're going to get a black eye," Tim sighs. "Bruce is going to send a howler, and it hasn't even been a month since the term started."
"So don't tell him."
"God, Tim, it's not that hard," Jason huffs, shoving Roy off and getting to his feet. Roy grimaces, pretty sure he has a split lip. Tim just shoots Jason a look. Jason sighs, throws his arms in the air, and starts heading back toward the common room. Dick sighs, gives Roy a "what can you do" look, and heads back to his own common room. Roy tries to give Tim a reassuring smile. He's pretty certain it comes out looking demented. Considering that he's bleeding and just gave his brother a black eye. Tim stares at him before making a "come here" motion with his hand. Roy blinks. Tim repeats the motion, pulling out his wand. "You aren't going to hex me to high hell for giving your brother a black eye, are you?" Roy asks, mostly joking, as he edges closer. Mostly joking? Because he knows that Cass jinxed a group of girls' diaries last year into flying into the Great Hall during breakfast and singing their contents at each other because they called Dick a stupid airhead. Tim snorts. "No. If I was going to get back at you for giving Jason a black eye, I'd make sure you wouldn't know about it until it was too late." Tim's hands are a little cold when he touches Roy's face, tilting his head back and forth. He makes a small noise. I'm more of an herbology person myself. "Good to know. Should I be worried about waking up to a devil's snare in my bed?" Roy winces as Tim prods at his lip. A muttered sorry in response. "Maybe." Tim whispers something under his breath, and Roy feels the cut heal. "There. Don't tell Jason I was the one who did it. He'd accuse me of being biased." Roy grins. "Thanks." And then, because he's kind of, well, Roy, he ducks down and kisses Tim's cheek. Then he takes a few steps back and almost laughs. Tim's face is Gryffindor red, and his eyes are wide. "Thanks. Don't tell Jason I was the one who made you blush. He'd accuse me of fraternizing with the enemy or something. See you around, Tim." Roy turns around and heads off to catch up with Jason. He takes a quick glance over his shoulder, and Tim is still standing there. Face in his hands, and even at this distance, he can tell that Tim's face is bright red. It's going to be an interesting year. The end. This is Let the Games Begin, a DCU's Batman, Young Justice Cartoon Universe, Hogwarts AU. Written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains the pairing Tim Drake-Roy Harper, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. This is the second story in the series House Rules. After the very shocking and disappointing reveal that is Tim's house, he wanted Ravenclaw so much. Just, ugh, why this? He gets a letter not 2 days later from the owl that Bruce makes the four of them share. Tim wonders who told him and which one of his siblings was able to write a letter after the opening feast, get to the aviary, and send the owl off so fast. The three of them probably fought over it or something. Tim gets a letter that states, in awkward but somewhat clear terms, which means Bruce actually did write it by himself without Alfred nudging him in the right direction, that while Slytherin wasn't the house Tim was hoping for, it's still a very good house to be in. It also assures him that he isn't a bad person just because a lot of people in Slytherin turn out to be, and points out a very long list of people who turned out to be very bad from other Hogwarts houses. Bruce also writes that he's certain that Tim will be able to make a lot of friends, and that, no, Bruce will not be sending Charlie the Unicorn all the way to England just so Tim can sulk in the woods. And as a postscript, Bruce says that if it really, really bothers Tim, he can come home and Bruce will transfer him to another school next year. But only if it really, really, really bothers him. At the very least, Bruce tries. His efforts are a little awkward and weird, but Tim's grateful all the same. It turns out that making friends isn't really a problem, though. He doesn't even need any of his siblings' interventions to do it, either. Tim makes friends with a fellow first year in his house, a girl with silvery hair and one eye named Rose Wilson. Slytherins don't have such a bad reputation between houses as it would seem. As long as it's not Gryffindor, the main rivalry is with Ravenclaw, and that's basically over better grades. Either way, they're in the middle of Herbology with Professor Lance, a joint class between Hufflepuff and Slytherin, when they're told to partner off. Tim's not really a standoffish person, but he's not exactly a social butterfly either. So he is awkwardly shuffling around as people pair off, and he sees Rose. He's about to walk over when a round-faced Hufflepuff grabs his arm and hisses, "Not Wilson, Drake! Her father's Deathstroke!" Tim can see Rose stiffen, her hands curling into fists out of the corner of his eye. Tim blinks. "Yes? So?" A Slytherin turns and stares at him. "I knew you were Muggle-born, Drake, but Deathstroke? Even Muggles know about Deathstroke." "Yes? I mean, I know who Deathstroke the Terminator is, but so what?" Tim pulls his arm away. "The sins of the father aren't the sins of the child. That's a saying, I think." So Tim walks over to Rose, who's sort of glaring at him, then staring at the ceiling, then glaring at the professor, then staring at him, then shuffling in place. He hears a Hufflepuff girl whisper, "Well, I suppose it's all right. He's a Wayne kid after all. And everyone knows the Wayne kids are damaged." At which point, Tim is ready to push her into the fertilizer heap, except Rose beats him to it and launches herself over the table. Punches the girl so hard that one of her teeth goes flying out of her mouth and snarls, "We'll see who's damaged when I'm done with you." Long story short, Rose gets detention, no matter what Tim tries to say about it being partly his fault, and it was provoked. Rose just shrugs, still not really looking at him. So Tim asks Professor Lance when and where the detention will be. Professor Lance raises an eyebrow, but tells him. And he waits outside the room for Rose to be done. She comes out after an hour or two, and stares at him. "You're not actually damaged, are you?" "Not any worse than the next person, I think," Tim answers, smiles. "How are your potions grids?" And that's how Tim and Rose become best friends. Sort of. Tim meets Jaime in the library, and through Jaime he meets Bart. And soon enough, the four of them are pretty decent friends who may or may not conspire to put Hufflepuff up as the House Cup victor this year. If only because they want to snatch victory out from underneath Gryffindor's nose and give it to the house Gryffindor would least expect as competition. It all rounds out to the fact that Tim is not nearly as alone and as much of an outcast as he expected to be in the beginning of the year. So when the first Quidditch match of the season is scheduled between Gryffindor and Ravenclaw, Tim doesn't feel nearly as conflicted about shoving his way through the Gryffindor stands to the front. Ticket offered to go with him, but Tim told him to go ahead to save seats. Jaime apologized, but he and Bart were going to be on the opposite side cheering with the Ravenclaws. Which means that it's Tim and Rose in their silver green, shouldering and shoving their way through masses of red and gold to where Dick is. Cass is somewhere in the back. She doesn't like crowds, And being in back means she can get away at any time she wants. So, Rose whispers, bending her head towards his. They have a few minutes before the game starts. Dick is highly involved in a rather heated discussion with some other upperclassmen over today's match and possible outcomes.
Which one is the one who made you blush?
Tim chokes.
How did you know?
Rose just gives him a look. The redhead. She turns and squints out onto the field.
Harper?
As in, Hawk and Dearden's brother Harper?
Who?
The Ravenclaw and Gryffindor who are always trading their rat every few days.
Oh.
Tim blinks.
Really?
I didn't know they were related. The rat is very cute. Her name is Speedy.
Seriously?
Rose snorts.
That's a weird name.
You've obviously never seen that rat run, Tim mutters. Rose continues squinting for a few more minutes, before nodding and sitting back.
Why are you smiling like that?
Rose, the last time you smiled like that, some Gryffindor 6 years started screaming because there were teeth in their oatmeal.
He's cute,
Rose says, smiling like she's about to rip open a frog carcass in potions class.
You could have done worse for yourself, Drake. Well done. There are worse people to get wrapped around your finger.
He is not wrapped around my...
Rose clears her throat and points down at the pitch, where Roy is enthusiastically waving at him.
He could be waving at anyone. He said his sister is a Gryffindor.
Rose jerks her head to the left,
and Tim leans around her to see Dearden shoving her way through the crowd to take a seat higher up in the stands. Somewhere that definitely isn't where Roy is waving and smiling.
Shut up,
Tim groans, burying his face in his hands.
Just shut up.
He's got a crush. You've got a crush. It's only our first year, and there's already drama, Rose sighs. And when she says drama, Tim has vivid and gore-filled images of bloody innards in a shark tank.
This is going to be exciting, Drake. I thank the Founding Fathers and Mothers for putting you in my life.
Now I don't have to try and organize a mutiny among the portraits.
The end.
This is Their 12, a DCU's Batman Young Justice cartoon universe, Hogwarts AU, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. This is the third story in the series, House Rules. Dinah isn't the type of professor to keep track of the student gossip. Teenage gossip is predictable and sad gossip. That and most of her students are friends of her boyfriend's kids. Her kids. But when she releases a class of third-years, Slytherins and Hufflepuffs, a good mix. Slytherins and Hufflepuffs get along quite well, and Dinah is always happy to have that particular combination on her roster. And she sees Cassandra Cain raise her eyebrows at someone outside the greenhouse. Well, that's when Dinah knows there's something going on. Cassandra Cain, as a general rule, does not use that expression unless one of her siblings is involved. Sure enough, Mia drags Connor into the greenhouse as soon as it's clear of students. Dinah sighs, stripping off her gardening gloves and tossing them onto a somewhat clear table.
Please tell me you two didn't lose Speedy.
We're not getting you a new rat a month into term. This is why we didn't trust you with a cat.
No, that's not why we're here, Mia protests, practically bouncing in place with manic glee.
We left Speedy with Roy, Connor adds, inspecting a tray of seedling bluebells with a mildly amused look on his face.
Dinah will never understand how Connor is so zen at 11.
Hell, she's going to be 30 soon, and she's never reached the level of calm peacefulness he has in her entire life for longer than 2 seconds, with the help from some damn strong potions.
Are you in trouble?
Did you get in trouble? It's only the first month.
No! Why do you always think we're in trouble? Mia huffs.
No, did you hear?
Hear what?
Roy has a crush on a first-year Slytherin!
Mia hisses, hands clapping together. His name is Timothy Drake, one of the Wayne kids. Apparently he's good at herbology. Do you know anything about him?
Do you?
Dinah raises her eyebrows.
Really?
Mia turns on her brother.
Back me up on this!
Connor hums, busy picking slugs off of some cabbages. Tim comes into the Ravenclaw common room sometimes. We're all very puzzled as to why he's in Slytherin instead of Ravenclaw. The portraits are very fond of him. He straightens their frames sometimes. Dinah blinks. Frowns. Wait, Timothy Drake? Friends with Rose Wilson? The girl who knocked that first year's teeth out?
That's the one.
Connor sets the slugs down by an open window, wiping his hands on a handkerchief. He's very pleasant to talk to. Did you know that you can convince the staircases not to move if you rub the third stair's edge with your hand?
No. What?
Mia and Dinah turn to stare. Connor smiles back. Tim is very thorough in his research.
Anyway, Roy has a crush, Mia says, and I want to know all about this person. So, do you know anything?
No, I don't. Dinah sighs. Now go back to the hall and eat. You're not skipping lunch to gossip at me.
Dinah can't help but keep an eye on Roy and Tim after that.
Roy seems the same as ever, thick as thieves with fellow Gryffindor Jason, passably average at herbology, much to his chagrin and her despair, and overall not as much of a troublemaker as he could be.
Thank God.
And Tim seems like a nice boy. He's smart, highly interested in the subject, and he shows prior experience in the subject. But knowing that he's a Wayne boy, that's not surprising. The Waynes have an extensive garden full of magic plants and fungi, one of the best in the United States. Of course, there's the matter of Rose Wilson, who is particularly worrisome. Smart, sharp-mouthed, and somewhat suspicious. But she's loyal. Dinah gives her that much. Very loyal.
Either way, it's fine if Roy has a crush. It's cute, even.
Let's face it.
Roy is 12, and Tim is 11. That's not really going to go anywhere. There's nothing to worry about there.
So, overall, cute and somewhat strange, but nothing to worry about. Except Professor Bertinelli, who teaches history of magic, pulls her aside one day and says,
"Your kid, Roy, he's good at charms, isn't he?"
Dinah frowns.
"Yes, he's pretty good at them. He likes them."
"Why?"
"I've noticed that when I'm teaching the first-year Slytherins, a certain event happens,"
Professor Bertinelli says, pulling out a piece of folded parchment from her robes.
"You see,
A paper airplane always flies in, like clockwork, and lands on a certain first-year boy's desk. Most other first-years don't notice because, let's face it, history of magic. The brats are halfway asleep or staring out the window. Anyway, I snagged this one and, well, take a look for yourself. Dinah unfolds the parchment to show a slightly lopsided heart and Roy's sharp-pointed scrawl. Hi.
Really, Roy? Hi? That's it?
He's not the smoothest operator, is he? Professor Bertinelli says, mouth quirking up. Dinah pinches the bridge of her nose.
He's 12.
And he's disrupting my class. Tell Romeo to tone it down, would you? Or at least make it something, you know, more interesting? Give my life some spice. Throw the drama at me.
Our students' love lives aren't our entertainment.
Yeah, sure. You say that, but you were the one who was heartbroken when Dick and Barbara broke up toward the middle of Dick's fourth year.
That was different, and they were meant to be.
Dinah calls in Roy after classes. Specifically, after the first-year Slytherin and Hufflepuff batch. As the first-years are bundling up and heading out, Roy slips in by the door, waiting. And Dinah can pinpoint the exact moment he realizes what class this is because of Tim and Rose. He lights up like a firework. He stands taller, and he smiles, and when Dinah looks over, Tim is ducking behind Rose, the tips of his ears pink, and the rest of his face following suit. Rose slings her arm around Tim's shoulders, and she smiles like a shark.
Oh, God, Dinah thinks. This is so far past a crush. A crush is an understatement, isn't it?
They're on a full crash course towards an inevitable drama. Roy just watches the two first years leave, this dopey smile on his face, and all Dinah can think is, crap, kids. At least it isn't, ugh, teenagers, yet. Dinah clears her throat when it becomes apparent that Roy is just going to stand there and watch Tim and Rose walk off into the distance. Roy startles, turning around, sheepish. You wanted to see me, Dinah? I mean, Professor Dinah? I mean, Lance? Mom? Roy. Dinah pulls out the paper airplane.
Really?
Roy.
Hi.
Roy turns dark, dark red.
Shut up!
Roy, I understand that this is a time of hormones and... Mom! Roy yelps, clapping his hands over his ears.
Can you not?
Dinah leans her hip against a table, raising an eyebrow. So, I didn't think that you'd go for someone like Tim.
What do you mean, someone like Tim?
Roy narrows his eyes.
Is it because he's in Slytherin? You're the one who told me that separation is a lie and that all houses are equal. He's really smart, and he's not a bastard like most of the Slytherins turn out to be. He's not even an asshole, Dinah. I mean, not more than anyone else. But he's Jason's brother, so I think a certain level of assholeness is to be expected. And, Dinah, he's really smart. Did you know he knows healing spells already? And he's really great at potions. And did you know that he managed to get Muggle technology to work on school grounds? That's really, really amazing, Dinah. And it's not fair to judge him just because he's in Slytherin, because he's got this really fun kind of humor, and he's just, overall, really awesome. Dinah waits until Roy is somewhat slumped over the table and wheezing for breath before saying,
I meant a boy, Roy. I was prepared to give you a talk for the eventuality in which you get a girlfriend. Now I have to come up with a talk for dating boys. I might have to use the one I was planning on giving Mia. Roy groans. Can't we just settle with I love him and be done with it? Dinah chokes. Roy, you're 12. Love is a pretty heavy word to be throwing around. But Dinah! Roy stares up at her with his heart in his eyes, and all the innocence of a 12-year-old with Roy's situation can have, and more. He's really, really... Roy struggles for a word, before sighing. Tim. Dinah pinches the bridge of her nose. The next 5 years are going to be hell if this is a preview of what's going to be going on. Just don't... Dinah waves the parchment. Can you at least try to be less awkward about it? It's my first time flirting. Give me a break, okay? Roy whines. Besides, I don't even know if he likes me back. I mean, like me. I know he likes me, but does he like me? I think that's a question for another day, Dinah replies, pressing the parchment into his palm. And as proud as I am of your ability to cast charms like this at your current level of education, I'd also like to remind you that you won't always have a teacher as understanding as Professor Bertinelli. Tone it down, Romeo. Fine, Roy sighs. Promise not to tell Ollie about it. Dinah raises an eyebrow. He'd get... You know. Tim's a Wayne, and you know how he is. If I promise not to tell him, will you promise to try and not give me a heart attack the next time you're on a broom? The end. This is Trounced, a DCU's Batman Young Justice cartoon universe, Hogwarts AU, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. This is the fourth story in the series, House Rules. Roy hopes to holy hell that Jason doesn't notice the way he always sits that he's facing the Slytherin table. God, don't notice. Roy is not looking forward to the inevitable conversation in which he admits that he's crushing on Jason's younger brother. He really, really isn't. It's not that Roy thinks Jason would be all overprotective or something like that. It's just that Roy knows that Jason is going to be such an asshole about it. Like, what even? How are you a human being? You are a being of pure malice. Or something. Something. At least Jason is preoccupied with other things, like house elf rights, and the latest civil cases for the enslaved species, and unrecognized territories of centaurs and other non-human civilizations. To notice how Roy keeps finding ways to run into or hang out with his little brother. The point is, they're in the Great Hall, and Roy sees Tim and his friend Rose walking with Jaime, a Ravenclaw, and Bart, a Hufflepuff, towards the Gryffindor table. It's not like the houses sit totally apart. Things aren't as separated as they were way back when. But there's still some old resentment toward the Slytherin house. So Roy can kind of understand the cautious looks some of the other Gryffindors are throwing Tim's way. It doesn't mean he has to like it. Mia waves at them, clearing space where she's sitting for them to sit with her. And when did they become friends? Like, what? Roy isn't even on real speaking terms with Tim yet. That is not fair. Tim is about to set his bag down, and Mia is already handing him half a muffin, when someone at the next table over, Ravenclaw, which is surprising because Ravenclaw isn't usually the house that does this kind of shit,
whispers, loud enough for everyone to hear, quiet enough to shrug it off, I can't believe the Gryffindors are letting Slytherin filth at their table. And that's when every Slytherin in the hall freezes and hones in on that single Ravenclaw. Say whatever the hell you want about the Slytherins. The second you insult one of their own, they will condense all their brain power and anger on you and you alone until you are a smear on the ground. Roy feels Jason tense up next to him, starting to stand up. And Roy sees Cass rising from the Slytherin table, where she had previously been practically invisible, and starting to walk over. Dick looks like he's about to jinx that Ravenclaw to hell with the sheer power of his mind. And Roy, because Roy is a good friend, and this is what good friends do for their best friends, gets ready to get up and help Jason beat some shit. Tim's mouth is a fine line, and he's just staring at the Ravenclaw's back. Rose is standing up, probably getting ready to stab someone with a butter knife. What? I just said what we're all thinking, the Ravenclaw continues. It's weird. Everyone knows that Slytherins are bad news, and it's just plain wrong to see Drake and Wilson warming their way into our houses. How many times do we have to be betrayed or backstabbed by one of them for that to sink in? Just because some first years are too stupid to realize that they're being used? Jaime and Bart stand up, and Tim's nose flares as he lets out an angry hiss. Doesn't mean us upperclassmen have to stand for it. Jason has his wand out, and he's probably so angry that he's just going to jab it into the Ravenclaw's eye socket. And Roy wouldn't really be able to blame him. If someone talked about his little brother or sister like that, he'd probably forego the hexes and spells just to go ahead and stab someone too. And then something completely unexpected happens. Tim forces his friends to sit down, walks around the table until he's standing right behind the Ravenclaw, who's now partially turned around and glaring. Tim's face is a scary sort of calm and unreadable. Excuse me, Tim says, a voice incredibly clear and bored sounding. I'm sorry to interrupt your obviously well thought out and intentioned speech, but I think you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, as us Muggleborns like to say. Roy hears Jason choke, and there are some snickers from around the hall. Now, Tim continues, ignoring the laughter. I may be a first year, so I don't know that much yet. But I would think that as a Ravenclaw, the house known for its pride in information and gathering of knowledge, even more so than Slytherin, you would have made some effort to get some sources for your conclusions. So, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the world-renowned criminal Pamela Isley, also known as the Poison Ivy, was a Ravenclaw? In fact, she was one of the best Ravenclaws, smartest, and she even won her house some fame and recognition while she was in the school. Her and her best friend, the Harley Quinn? Am I incorrect? The Ravenclaw sputters, and Tim just steamrolls on, turning to his friends, who just nod back at him like it's some sort of code. And then Tim just lets the floodgate open. One of the most common proverbs and sentiments known to almost every living being in the world is, don't judge a book by its cover. And I think we all know there's a lot of crossover between the houses. Gryffindors are brave, not stupid. Hufflepuffs are loyal, not unremarkable. Ravenclaws are smart, not nerds. Slytherins are cunning, not backstabbers. Now,
Since you apparently were not paying attention during year one history of magic, or perhaps you were only looking at Professor Bertinelli's breasts or something, let me give you some refreshers. Tim clears his throat. Gryffindor, while able to boast the production of some of the greatest witches and wizards in our generations, is also responsible for the Joker, also known as Jack Ripier, who is currently one of the worst threats to mankind in decades. And no offense, Rose. He doesn't even turn around, but Rose is giving him a thumbs up behind his back, and Tim just sucks in a deep breath and keeps going. Slade Wilson, a.k.a. Deathstroke the Terminator. Now, you would think that given those facts, you would also want to stigmatize the Gryffindors. The best and worst potential and all that. Moving on. Did you know that Hufflepuff is responsible for Enigma, the Riddler? No? Then maybe you're more familiar with some of the more famous Hufflepuff hiccups. Captain Boomerang, who, I think it was a year ago, killed an entire apartment building full of squibs and hate crime. Now, I would think that you would also be somewhat antagonistic toward the Hufflepuffs for that. And let's not even get started on Ravenclaw, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, the Scarecrow, and let's not forget Shiva, Hush, Dr. Light, and Cersei. The entire hall has fallen into a hush. Even the teachers. And Roy doesn't think he's ever seen Professor Bertinelli look so proud. Moving on to the Slytherin house. Yes, there is a startlingly high correlation between Slytherin house members and dark witches and wizards. But our house has also produced some highly esteemed names, such as the good Dr. Leslie Thompson, one of the best Aurors of our generation, Miss Barda Free, one of the greatest witches in history, Zatanna, and the greatest wizard of our time, without question, Dr. Fate. Tim smiles. Of course you remember them. So while it's very easy to bundle everyone up into neat little labels, let's not forget that every person carries the ability to do both good and bad. After all, the potential for evil is often fed by the kind of small-minded hate and prejudice that you're displaying. No offense. I'm sure that you didn't mean that. And I'm sure you didn't mean to ignore all the other facts pointing to the fact that all the houses have some dark witches and wizards. But you're showing an awful attitude towards us underclassmen, and it's almost as if you're trying to force us into the position of seclusion and self-hate, and, of course, shame. Are you shaming us? That's certainly not something I'd expect from an esteemed upperclassman such as yourself. Tim sighs, looking extremely disappointed. I expected so much more from such a dignified house. I'm certainly glad that I'm not in Ravenclaw now. Talking behind people's backs like that, and stooping to such low acts of petty prejudice, I would think that you'd attempt to have a clearer argument. Now, I'm going to go back to the Gryffindor table, and you can use the time between me finishing my breakfast and first class to come up with an acceptable rebuttal. But please take into consideration that you are arguing with a first-year Slytherin, and my house is known for, and I quote, Tim air quotes, keeping long records of insults upon our name. And if I get detention for this, then I will gladly scrub toilets for the rest of the year, because at the very least, I have left this entire hall slightly more well-informed for their future uses of stereotypes and bigotry. Good day. With that, Tim turns on his heel and walks back to where he was about to sit down. And Roy is not kidding. He has never felt this ridiculously happy in his life. Your brother, Roy whispers, is amazing. Jason is still staring at the Ravenclaw.
I don't think I've seen Tim do that since that one time with social services. Good to know he still got it, I think. Amazing, Roy swears. He is in love. Like, wow. He doesn't think he's ever seen someone deliver such a good verbal smackdown. He's 11. Wow.
He should have seen him when he was 8, Jason replies. Smaller words, yeah, but still crazy scary. I think that's around the same time he started memorizing the dictionary.
Your brother, Roy sighs. Your brother.
Tim is primly eating his breakfast. The tips of his ears a faint pink, while his friends crowd around him. All the other Slytherins in the room are practically preening.
And let today be known as the day that the Slytherins trounced the Ravenclaws, Jason whispers. Trounced.
According to Jason, Tim did not get detention for his speech in the Great Hall, but he did get 15 points deducted for disruption. But Professor Bertinelli, head of the Slytherin House, awarded him 50 points for paying attention in History of Magic, and another 10 for standing up for his house. He also got a strongly worded letter from Bruce, reminding him to tone it down a little when he decides to go on one of his rants, but otherwise he was very proud. The entire Slytherin House seems to have made it their mission to target that single Ravenclaw for the rest of the year. Or, at least, until he apologizes to the house as a whole.
Your brother is terrifying, Roy says, as they're walking to Quidditch practice.
And he's 11. Why aren't you that cool?
Hey, Jason huffs. My talents lie elsewhere.
What, you're gonna ditch me for Tim because he uses fancy words and makes people piss their pants when he opens his mouth?
If I said yes, how offended would you be?
The end. This is Poor Excuse, a DCU's Batman Young Justice cartoon universe, Hogwarts AU, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tags for Ultimate Universe, Alternate Universe Hogwarts. This is the 5th story in the series House Rules.
So, you're going to get potions advice from Tim?
Mia is, to be frank, mildly perplexed.
Roy, you have great potions grades. Like, really great. And Jason does too. And why would you go to Tim for potions? You realize that his brother, your best friend, knows more. Because his brother is older and in the same class as you.
Shush, Roy says, shooting a nervous look toward the boys' dormitory. Do you want the whole world to hear? Mia, just shh! Mia rolls her eyes. I'm just saying that it's a really, really flawed plan. You should just, you know, talk to him. And I don't mean send charmed parchment airplanes either. What are you, 6?
Mia!
I'm just saying, Mia huffs. I've read books with better romance stories than this. Don't compare me to your trash novels.
They aren't trash.
They are too.
Are not. Take it back.
They are too. I mean, vampires aren't even like that and— Ow! Don't hit me!
What the hell are you two doing?
Jason frowns at them, arms full of books as he comes into the common room. Are you two in the middle of a smack fight?
Maybe, Roy pinches Mia's cheek. Mia smacks Roy's arm.
What's with all the books?
Reading, you uncultured heathen.
What else?
Jason rolls his eyes. Don't let me interrupt your slap fight.
Do keep going. It's fun to watch Roy get his ass kicked by his little sister.
Hey, who says I was losing? Jason fixes Mia with a look.
Did you know that he flips out if you touch his neck?
Mia lunges.
What happened to your face?
Roy grimaces. Tim stares at him, looking a little scandalized.
Did you somehow find sandpaper and rub your face against it?
No, Roy mutters.
Don't ask about it.
Tim sighs, pulls out his wand.
Come here. You're right enough without the weirdness going on with whatever I'm not supposed to ask about.
Roy flushes, even as Tim carefully reaches out and touches his fingers to the side of Roy's head, carefully whispering the words to a healing spell under his breath.
How'd you get so good at healing spells, anyway? I mean, it's not like we can practice at home, what with the trace and all that.
Tim snorts.
Have you met my siblings? We might not be able to use magic, but being Alfred made sure that we were well-versed in healing spells when we went off on our own. Just in case, you know. I can't even begin to tell you how many injuries Jason's gotten because he was experimenting.
Sounds like you've got a lot of embarrassing stories on your siblings.
Roy grins.
Tim tentatively smiles back at him, putting his wand back into his robes.
What, and you don't? I'll show you some stories on Jason if you give me some on Mia.
Not Connor?
Connor is nice!
Tim looks baffled.
I don't know why I'd want embarrassing stories about him. Do those even exist?
Roy makes a face.
Well, now that you ask, of course I can't think of any right at this moment.
That's like asking me to name 3 professional Quidditch players from America off the top of my head.
Tim raises an eyebrow.
Well, okay, maybe I can, but that's only because Mia's so crazy about Quidditch.
You aren't?
It's all right, I guess. Roy shrugs.
I mean, it's something to do, you know? But it's not really something I'm absolutely obsessed with.
But you're good at it. Tim toys with the edges of his sleeve.
Jason always complains about how Dick and Cass aren't much competition when they play improvised versions back home.
Should I be flattered?
Maybe. But I don't think you've seen Dick or Cass on a broom.
Tim wrinkles his nose. Anyway, potions. What did you need help on?
Oh, right.
So how did your date go? Rose asks, when Tim comes back to the common rooms.
It wasn't a date, Tim sighs, curling up on the sofa next to her. And, I don't know, it was kind of nice. I mean, it's weird, he's Jason's best friend.
So?
So, I mean, he's my big brother's best friend.
Tim wrinkles his nose. It's just weird.
And I don't really know, Wilson. I don't know.
What's wrong, Drake? Tell Rose all about it.
You just want something to laugh over when you have to sit through astronomy.
Does that mean you're not going to tell me about it? Rose stretches, moves to stand up. Because if so, I'm going to see if I can climb to the top of the Gryffindor Tower without being caught.
No, I didn't say that.
Tim yanks her back down. She turns to him, tucking her feet underneath her, staring at him like a cat.
She's way too into this.
Okay, so I don't know why he called me out for potions help. I really don't. I mean, we're first years. He's a second year.
shouldn't he know more than us? And, I mean, he's also pretty good at potions anyway. He's Jason's partner in that class, and they always get top grades. And I know for a fact that it's not just Jason doing all the work. Jason isn't that type of person. Tim sighs, slumping a little, even as Rose nudges him to keep going. So, I really don't get why he called me out today. Date. D-A-T-E. Rose stresses the word. It's a date, and he's just stupid awkward about it. I mean, have you never read any romance novels? This is, like, the main plot for 1,000 fanfics or something. For some reason, I think you and Dick would really, really get along. Rose makes a face. Anyway, I don't know how to feel. Tim sighs, towing off his shoes. We talked about things and it was nice. Exchanged stories from our childhood, talked about school stuff, likes, dislikes, and stuff. And I did another healing spell on his face. What is with you and his face? Tim splutters. It's not my fault! Also, did you know that he has really, really, really green eyes? My God, you're such a lost cause, it's pathetic. I'm not even... No, I'm going to say it. You got lost in his eyes, and you're tired of walking around all day trying to get out. You are so pathetic, you are an actual muggle pickup line. The end. This is Holiday Break, a DCU's Batman Young Justice Cartoon Universe Hogwarts AU, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tag for Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. Dick sighs, staring at the letter from Gotham, giving their owl a fond scratch underneath her chin before sending her to the owlry. His siblings crowd around him at the Hufflepuff table, bodily pushing other Hufflepuffs out of their way. So, what's it say, Goldie? Jason asks, trying to shove his head in front of Dick's to read the letter, pushing Tim's face out of the way with his hand. Cass tries to use Dick's shoulders to boost herself up and read over the top of the three of them. Tim tries to duck underneath Dick's arm to glimpse at the letter. Do we get to go home or what? Well, Dick says, if you three would get out of my space for about 5 seconds so I could actually read the letter, that would be great, you know? Sorry, the three mumble, retreating to a respectable distance. Garfield, a little way down the table, snickers. Dick shrugs at him. What can you do? Siblings, you know? So, are we going home? Are we? Dick reads over the letter, biting his cheek. He swears it looks like the three of them are holding their breath. It would be amusing, and Dick wouldn't hesitate to tease them at any other time. But he's kind of holding his breath, too. Unfortunately, it would appear that we're spending Christmas at Hogwarts this year. Dick folds the letter, handing it to Tim to read over. The situation in Gotham is pretty bad, apparently. All the rogues are gathered this year. Bruce is even considering sending Damian and Alfred to Kansas, just in case. He's really sorry. Jason groans, leaning down to rest his cheek on the table. Cass leans on top of his back, frown twisting her lips downwards. Tim just holds the letter in his hands, face unreadable. It's really disappointing. Christmas is always a big deal for them. Family in general is really important to them. He says he's going to send his presents in the mail. Jason snorts. And then he sends his regards. Which is practically his way of saying he loves us. The three of them roll their eyes. Well, it won't be that bad,
Jason says after a moment.
Roy and his siblings are staying behind this year. Because their mom works here, and there's more of them here than there is at home, his papa's just going to come in for the holiday before going home. So the Gryffindor common room won't be empty, at least.
Dick nods, turns to Tim. And what about you guys?
If it's empty, I can ask if you guys can come to my dorm. Save the house elves some work.
Tim shakes his head.
Rose says the best thing about Hogwarts is that she doesn't have to go home for the holidays now. She's trying to see if she can live here year-round. It'll be fine. What about you?
Dick waves his hand.
Oh, there's always a bunch of us Hufflepuffs to stay behind. Solidarity and all that. We're fine. So, I guess we're all good then?
I guess.
Jason sighs, shrugging Cass off and moving to head back to the Gryffindor table.
I'll tell Roy.
We'll head back too, Tim says, tucking the letter into his robes.
I have to get going. I have a study session.
Tim turns an interesting shade of pink.
Dick shoots Cass a look.
Cass smiles.
Potions. But you're good at potions. What do you have to study for?
Dick raises his eyebrows.
Study sessions is code.
Cass elbows Dick.
You know, study sessions.
Tim, you're 11, Dick scolds.
Tim turns an even deeper shade of pink. Other Hufflepuffs around them start giggling. Good-natured, of course. There isn't much malice in their house.
A good thing, Dick thinks.
Personally, he doesn't get why people are always so down about Hufflepuffs. It's a great house. Real friendly.
You're too young for that kind of studying?
Guys! Tim hisses, gathering his stuff to his chest.
Seriously! You guys are worse than Wilson!
They watch Tim scuttle back to the Slytherin table, exchanging high fives.
I'm glad Tim's here.
Because he's easier to tease?
Cass raises an eyebrow.
You're actually a terrible human being. I'm a wonderful brother, though.
Dick smiles.
Besides, I'm not the one who's going to be on his case every second of the day. That's you.
Cass's face slowly melts into a smile. There will be no escape.
The Slytherins are just a bunch of moms, aren't they?
You know the saying. It takes a village to raise a hellspawn.
Winter at Hogwarts is really weird. They watch their friends go home and the castle empty, hallways deserting and classrooms going unused.
There's beautiful decorations.
Mistletoe in doorways, tinsel, Christmas trees, candles and floating Christmas ornaments in the air.
The snow is really beautiful, too.
The lake freezes over, and they all go ice skating together. Dick teaches his younger siblings where to find really pretty scenic places in the Forbidden Forest. And much to no one's surprise, they find that Tim's already befriended the local centaur population, figured out the unicorn paths, and found where the thestrals are kept.
You are ridiculous. When do you even find time to sneak out?
Jason says, even as they climb trees to get fresh branches to make Christmas wreaths with.
Aren't first years supposed to be too scared to cause trouble?
Cass laughs so hard that she almost falls out of the tree.
Dick laughs so hard he dislodges some snow and it falls on him, muffling his yelp of surprise.
Yeah, shut it, Cass. Obviously, I wasn't a regular first year. I lived a life of crime and adventure. I'm a world-weary soul in a young body, yada, yada, yada.
Do you even know what it means to have Wilson as your bodyguard?
Is that what you're calling it these days?
Dick rolls his eyes. Why can't you just call her your friend?
Because friends are for the weak. Tim air quotes. That and sleep, apparently. Anyway, where she goes, I follow, or something like that. And where is Rose now? Trying to bribe her dad into smuggling her cigarettes by the time she's in third year? Tim replies, already perched in one of the upper branches, fiddling with the fraying edges of his scarf. Dick swears. Tim's just as bad as Jason on the wear and tear with his clothes. Jason, because he does so many experiments and runs wild. Tim, because he just chews and picks at his clothes so much. Honestly, Dick is surprised the scarf's lasted as long as it has already. But then again, at least they got Tim to stop biting his nails and ripping up his lip. Those were not fun times. Wait, what? They got cigarettes here? Jason starts, before Dick, Cass, and Tim pelt him with pine cones. Ow! So, how are we going to do Christmas? Tim asks. I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to do Christmas morning this year, since we're all in different rooms. Christmas evening? Cass suggests. They'll probably be more lax about it, since most people who stayed behind have families in different houses. I guess, but won't we be in too much of a food coma? Dick points out. Whose common room? Hufflepuff's is the closest to the kitchen for snack runs, Cass points out. And Slytherin's is right by the Great Hall. Drafty, but close enough. Gryffindor's is furthest, but it's warmest, and it'll only be us and the Queen kids, Jason points out. Dick and Cass turn to Tim, who freezes, in the middle of mouthing at his sweater sleeve. He looks a little like a squirrel. Why are you looking at me like that? Just us and the Queen kids, Cass says, in the warm, red-colored Gryffindor Tower. How cozy, Dick coos. Jason looks between the three of them. Am I missing something? No, Tim blurts out, hiding his face in his scarf.
Ugh, no!
The end.
This is He's a Kid! A DCU's Batman, Young Justice, Cartoon Universe, Hogwarts AU. Written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper. With additional tags for Alternate Universe, Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. This is the 7th story in the series House Rules. Before you freak out, I want to tell you something, Dinah says, as soon as she meets Ollie at the train station. Ollie blinks, turns a little pale.
What do they do? It's only been half a year. Did they lose Speedy? I knew we should have just gotten them a cat. At least cats can wear collars.
He levitates his luggage, and they begin to walk toward the carriages.
They didn't lose Speedy.
Speedy is doing remarkably well for a rat being shared between two first years in separate houses. It's about Roy.
What did he do? It's only half a year into his second year. What the hell could he have possibly done so fast? Isn't he on the team now? Isn't he supposed to be too busy to get into trouble? Pretty bird! Is he failing a class? He's too smart to fail! Dinah!
If you'd calm down and stop jumping to conclusions, I'd tell you, Dinah replies, linking their arms together. Honestly, I don't know if it's funny how damn nervous you are about your kids or pathetic. How is Connor even your kid?
I don't know, Dinah. I don't know.
Oliver sighs. He's more put together than I was at any age.
He's more put together than most of the human race, I think. Dinah leans into Ollie's side. And Roy kind of has a not-so-little crush on a first year.
What kind of first year? Is she in Gryffindor? Is she smart? Is she pretty? Is she nice? Is she bossy? Is she tall? Is she short? From around here? Overseas?
He is a Slytherin. He's very smart for a boy his age.
I don't know if he's pretty or not. First years all tend to fall into the category of cute and wide-eyed miscreants. He seems very nice. I don't know if he's bossy. Considering that he hangs around Rose Wilson, he's not very tall. He's a first year. Give him time, he'll grow. And he's from America.
Hey.
Ollie blinks. Well, I think we might have to use that talk you were planning to give Mia on him.
That's what I said.
Dinah pauses as Ollie levitates his things into the carriage, climbing in after. Ollie settles in next to her.
If the boy part is supposed to freak me out, I'm hurt that you would think that. I like to think I'm very open-minded.
No, the boy part isn't supposed to freak you out.
Is it the Slytherin part? Because I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. If it was good enough for Zatanna, it's good enough for our kids.
No, I haven't told you the part that's going to freak you out yet. Dinah waits until the carriage starts moving. Do you remember last year when Roy wrote home about his new best friend, Jason Todd? Ollie narrows his eyes in suspicion.
Yes. Why?
Jason didn't suddenly get held back a year and switch to Slytherin, did he? Is Roy dating Jason?
I knew it.
No! Would you let me finish? Dinah smacks Ollie's arm. He's crushing on Jason's little brother, Tim Drake. Newly adopted son of Bruce Wayne.
Ollie turns a little green.
And that's the part that's meant to freak you out.
Roy likes the Wayne kid? Ollie whines. This kid is going to be the end of me.
Dinah threads her fingers through his hair, at the back of his head. I know. Let it out, Ollie. Let it out.
When you say likes, do you mean like, or just like?
Ollie asks, and Dinah swears to God that Ollie is still a teenager in a grown man's body sometimes. Does Tim like him back? As a friend or as a friend?
Jesus, Ollie, I'm a teacher, not their BFF. Why don't you ask Mia? She keeps up with this kind of thing. Do you think this is something he'll grow out of?
Ollie turns to her, pathetic hope in his eyes.
It could be just a phase.
I doubt it. You haven't seen him moon over him yet. Ollie, it's actually very intense.
Hey kids, how's it going?
Ollie ruffles Mia's hair, pulls Connor into a rough hug.
Where's your brother?
Mia snorts, and Connor shrugs. With Jason and the others.
Ollie kneels down.
Okay. Good. So spill. What's this about Roy having a crush?
Pop, it's not even a crush anymore. Mia sighs.
It's ridiculous. It's a drama at this point. Ollie turns to Dinah, as if to ask,
are you kidding me?
Dinah crosses her arms.
I told you so.
He is pining, Pop. Pining, Mia continues. And making the dumbest excuses to meet up with him. I've read better fan fiction than this.
Ollie grimaces. He's not the smoothest operator then, is he?
He's been sending charmed messages that just say hi, Dinah adds in. They have potions study sessions.
Potions?
Ollie frowns.
What, he's tutoring Tim? Wouldn't Tim go to Jason for help first?
It's the other way around, Pop, Connor says, He's asking Tim for tutoring.
He's a second year. It's his second best subject.
Ollie stares.
That doesn't even make any logical sense.
He's not much of a flirt.
This kid.
Ollie sighs. All right, enough about Roy. How are you guys? Where's Speedy? The rat still in one piece?
Hi, pup, Roy says, tramping in from the snow, followed by a small mob of dark-haired children. And it's not that Ollie doesn't like Bruce's kids. He thinks Bruce is an uptight prick, but his kids are all right.
Sins of the father and all that.
Still, he can't help but feel a bit exasperated and chagrined over the fact that his kid is best friends with Wayne's kid, and is apparently having an extreme bout of hormones and feelings over another one of his kids.
Ollie watches Roy turn towards where Jason and his family is. The smallest of the four, bundled in a Slytherin scarf and an oversized dark red sweater, ducks his head. Ollie watches with a growing sense of resignation the way Roy just melts into a smile.
You're 12,
Ollie sighs, leaning his chin on his hand.
I can't believe this. I thought I was in the clear for at least another 3 to 4 years.
What?
Never mind. Go play with your friends. I'm going to go talk with Pretty Bird about how goddamn crazy my life is.
The end. This is Monopoly, a DCU's Batman, Young Justice cartoon universe, Hogwarts AU. Written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Roy Harper, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Hogwarts. This is the 8th story in the series, House Rules.
You're a wizard.
That's what Ollie tells Roy when he comes to the reservation. You're a wizard, and I'm going to adopt you in something, 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 that ends up with Roy in the back seat of a nice car driving away from the desert he knows like the back of his hand. Roy, at the time, was around 6, and mostly not okay with it. Things have gone up from there, but he thinks that things with Ollie will always be a little bit rocky. He loves his adopted dad and his adopted mom and his adopted brother and sister, and even Uncle Hal and Uncle Barry. He even likes the new pet rat. But parts of Roy will always call for home in the orange sunset and sky with stars like crystals. Roy is 12, and there's a boy he likes, and it's not the first time he thinks he's glad that he is who he is. It isn't. But it's one of those times where he's reminded that if he didn't go with Ollie, he wouldn't meet people like this. Tim smiles. 11 and really, really smart and cool. And Roy is so glad that he agreed to boarding school.
Happy Christmas, kid,
Ollie says, ruffling Roy's hair like he's a little kid.
Which he's not.
He's going to be turning 13 this year. Roy tries to put his hair back in order.
I heard some interesting news from Connor and Mia.
They're tattles, Roy says. They lie. Also, they lost the rat 3 times in the past month, and I had to help them get it back. I've been responsible. I've gotten high marks on all my assignments.
Ollie raises an eyebrow. I never said you were in trouble.
Oh! Roy blinks.
Well, then, I'm going to go now.
What? You haven't seen me since August. Don't you want to hang out with your old man? Ollie calls after him as he ducks under the man's arm and runs back toward the Slytherin dorms. We're going to be in the dungeons today, Jason says. The Slytherin dorms have a view of the lake, and it's really cool during winter. The light looks different and the water is really still. Come down later. The password is Nativity. Later, Roy yells back, catching a glimpse of Mia and Rose's bright hair in the corner of his eye. He almost trips and falls right there. Those two are never good news together. For a really long time after Ollie adopts him, and he knows that it was for his own good, the others said it was. They told him that they didn't know how to train him, that he had to go, that it would be better for him. Roy is angry. He's angry at his tribe for not fighting to keep him with them. He's angry at himself for being born with something that would take him away from his people. He's angry at Ollie for taking him away. He's angry at his parents for giving him this. It takes Roy a long time to stop being angry. He thinks it helps that Ollie took him back a lot to see his friends and family. It also helps that there was Connor around. And Dinah. Because they were nice, and they became family too. Roy knows a lot about families now. He thinks that Jason and Tim know a lot about families too. None of the Waynes are related, after all. Dick's parents were murdered. Never knew my dad. My mom died. Jason lists off. Tim's real parents couldn't care less about where he is. There was an ugly lawsuit and stuff, and now they're dead. Cass's parents are assholes. And then there's Damien, who's a complicated story on his own. B took us all in. Roy is grateful for coming here. It's far and away from everything he knows. The forests and the lake, the green grass and the sprawling hills and the sharp rocks of gray are nothing at all like the red, orange, brown, purple, pink of the desert. Nothing at all like that vast and sprawling view of the world opening up around you for as far as the eye can go. And it's nothing like Star City, with the buildings that glitter and reach for the sky, and the suburbs lined with oak trees that create shady pathways and hiding places. The people here are different, too. He's glad he came here. You came! Did you have any trouble with the password? Tim asks, when Roy makes his way into the dorm. He's been in the Slytherin dorm a few times before, because Jason brought him here last year to hang out with his sister. No, Jason told me, Roy replies, smiling at him a little. Tim smiles back and leads him back toward the dormitories. The window into the lake is this way. Don't worry, Cass, Rose, and I are the only Slytherins left this year, Tim says. I thought you'd spend more time with your dad first. He's going to be here an embarrassing all break, Roy snorts. Besides, he's probably going to spend most of the time being romantic with Dinah. Tim coughs out a laugh. Professor Lance doesn't really seem the type. Yeah, well, you've never seen them together. Roy sticks out his tongue. Gross. Both of them almost jump when arms come around their necks, pulling them against a body. You're one to talk, Roy, Dick says, causing Roy to flush. And are you any good at Monopoly? Wayne Christmas tradition. We start a game on the first day of break and play until the end. What's Monopoly? Roy asks, hearing affronted gasps from the rest of the Waynes. Okay, you young Padawan are going to be on Tim's team, Jason says. I was going to have you on mine, but you just dragged me down. Hey, it's okay. Tim's the best at this. We need the handicap. Cass replies, smiling at him. You'll bring him down to around our level. Maybe. And he'll rescue you from complete poverty. Probably.
Maybe we
they should wait for Connor and Mia, Roy says, nervously eyeing the brightly colored pieces of paper and metal pieces. Connor isn't going to play, Tim says, and Mia said she was going to hang out with Rose. Tim wrinkles his nose, which I find odd because they don't normally hang out. But either way, they are not going to play, so it's just us. Is it too late for me to back out? Roy asks, earning a resounding yes. Well, all right then. It was nice knowing you all. The end.